this week. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A crisis erupted in the waters of Southeast Asia this past week. President Ford announced the resolution of that crisis just after midnight Wednesday.
I have now received information that the vessel has been recovered intact and the entire crew has been rescued. The forces that have successfully accomplished this mission are still under hostile fire, but are preparing to disengage.
The ship, of course, was the container ship Mayaguez, halted and seized by the Khmer Rouge insurgents of Cambodia at the beginning of the week. It was released and the crew freed 2 days later after intervention by U.S. Marines and Air Force jets. Secretary of State Kissinger subsequently defended the use of military force to obtain the release, insisting that there was no way of resolving the crisis diplomatically.
The impact ought to be to make clear that there are limits beyond which the United States cannot be pushed, and that the United States is prepared to defend those interests, but we are not going around looking for opportunities to prove our manhood.
Kissinger admitted that military operations continued after the release of the ship and the crew, but only to protect the Marines who were still on the island of Tang. Generally, there was support for the president's action around Congress and around the country. Conservative Senator James Buckley of New York, before the release of the ship, called for strong action.
We are faced with an act of piracy. We are faced with a country making deliberate attacks on American citizens and property. This cannot be allowed to go unpunished.
The following day, after the release of the ship, Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy applauded the action in remarks at the UN.
President Ford has acted, and for America, the immediate outcome has been welcome in the safe return of the men in the merchant vessel. Whether there was an alternative in the diplomatic efforts, we do not yet know. And I expect, however, that President Ford will make an immediate report to the Congress so that everyone, both here and abroad, may judge for himself the sources of the recent events and the wisdom of the American action.
There were some reservations. Was the military force really necessary? Wisconsin's Democratic Senator Gaylord Nelson.
Did it work? If that's the case, why don't we bomb the coast of South America every time they pick up a fishing ship? They go out 150 miles into international waters. And I don't think you can say that something works when it was used violence unnecessarily. As a matter of fact, in the course of the military operation, our government monitored a public statement from Cambodia offering to return the ship. So I think our act was unnecessary and unfortunate.
Then there was the viewpoint of the Mayaguez crew after the event. Engineer Vernon Greenland talked with reporters in Singapore.
We have a lot to thank President Ford for in his actions, and especially in the fact that he turned it over to the military and let them handle it in a proper manner. And I think the military did a real fine job over there. It was one or two times we thought we were endangered possibly by the Cambodians, but once we saw the Air Force and flying around, we knew we were all right.
The government of Thailand was upset over the use of one of the U.S. air bases in its territory for the staging of the military action by Marines and Air Force planes. It rejected an expression of regret by Secretary of State Kissinger and ordered the Thai ambassador to the U.S. to return home. And there were public demonstrations of protest against the U.S. in Bangkok. The leaders of Thailand feel themselves caught in the middle. Mike Stutowski reports from Bangkok.
On the surface, at least, Thai leaders are sympathetic with the anti-American demonstrators. But deep down, there is growing fear that the protest could yet get easily out of hand. This is clear today as the demonstrators set up tents in front of the embassy in what could be a long period of watching and waiting. The demonstrations, plus the recent anti-American statements of Thai leaders, could actually be by design to spoon-feed the visiting North and South Vietnamese delegations ideas of building better relationships. Amidst all this smoldering rhetoric could surface some doubt as to whether the Thais and the Americans are really such close bedfellows after all. That, at least, is what the Thais would like the communists to think, as well as radical students who are not very happy about the American presence anyway. The picture is very complex and sensitive, and it will be some time before anyone can sort out what is really going on behind the scenes. Thailand is clearly caught in the middle, and until everything is sorted out, it must proceed cautiously until the radically changing face of Indochina is stabilized. Mike Snetowski for CBS News, Bangkok.
Egypt's President Sadat spent this past week conferring with the leaders of four other Arab nations, Jordan, Kuwait, Iraq, and Syria, seeking a united Arab front for the talks Sadat will hold with President Ford in Salzburg next month. At the end of the trip, Sadat said he had obtained that support. Sources in Cairo said this amounts to a narrow field of diplomatic maneuvering, and part of this, they say, is an agreement that it is no longer realistic to talk of destroying the state of Israel. Israel this week signed a trade agreement with the 9-member European Common Market, despite a last-minute Arab protest demanding that the Common Market sign similar accords with Algeria, Morocco, and Tunisia. Israel's Foreign Minister Yigal Alon had this comment.
The very fact that the European Common Market found it necessary and possible to sign a comprehensive trade agreement with Israel is an encouraging sign that the 9 are not ready to be pushed around.
A new visitor to Washington this week, the Shah of Iran, who was given a formal state reception at the White House. At week's end, the Shah was warning that the U.S. and the rest of the world can expect a boost in oil prices in September because, he said, world inflation has cut the purchasing power of the money the oil producers receive. He amplified this during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press.
Last session of OPEC, we had decided to give the world a chance to curb their inflation, to check it, put their house in order. That period will be terminated in September. So in September, we are going to meet again and decide what to do. The facts are that we have lost 35% of our purchasing power.
At week's end, the lights of detente between Russia and the U.S. seemed to be shining a little brighter. Secretary of State Kissinger packed his bags and flew to Vienna for a meeting tomorrow and Tuesday with his Soviet counterpart, Andrei Gromyko. In advance of that meeting, the Russian party newspaper Pravda sounded an upbeat note on detente, saying the importance of relations between Russia and the United States for the cause of peace can hardly be overestimated. And it added that both sides are striving to elevate these relations to a new plane. There was a mild ruffle in detente at the end of the week. A Polish fishing vessel, part of a large Russian and Polish fleet fishing in the waters of the Pacific off California, was seized by the U.S. Coast Guard and escorted to port in San Francisco. The Polish vessel was picked up only 10 miles off the coast of Monterey, 2 miles inside the limits of the U.S. fishing zone. Coast Guard Petty Officer Paul Mobley explains the difference between fishing limits and normal territorial limits.
Any time that a foreign fishing vessel violates the U.S. contiguous fishing zone, the U.S. does have the power to prosecute them. The 3-mile limit is territorial waters. However, the U.S. does maintain a 12-mile fishing limit for foreign fishing vessels. Foreign fishing vessels cannot come within the 12-mile limit.
The World This Week has been produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.